te Vasudevaya. Narayana Nitan Charitamrit. Today, Madhalila, chapter 22. Very nice verse. Verse number 78 to number 80. Kripalu Akrita Droha Satya Sara Sama Nidosha Vadanya Mrudu Suchi Kinchana Sarvopakarka Shanta Krishneka Sharana Akama Aniha Sthira Vijata Sadaguna Mita Bhaka Apratmata Mandana Amani Gambhira Karuna Maitre Kavi Daksha Mauni. Translation: devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean. They are therefore without material possessions and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, namely lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. One day, Prabhupada's signature note. Whenever there is a great personality, he always has a signature. And everybody recognizes his signature. So, Prabhupada's signature is eternal. It is in the sound incarnation of the holy name of the Lord. That is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Because signatures can vanish, but the sound incarnation cannot vanish. So today we have assembled to glorify His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Would you like to give the lecture, Prabhuji? You give the lecture if you wish. Thank you. We'd like to hear somebody glorify Prabhupada. Prabhupada used to deal like that. In New York once, one chap came and he started giving his own lecture, talking. So Prabhupada said, you give a lecture. Fine. He was absolutely humble. We are trying to be only copycat humble. But real humbleness was Prabhupada. The greatest quality of a devotee is humbleness. Tranadapi sunichena, tarorapi saishanam, amani namaradena, kirtaniya sadahari. You cannot chant the holy name of the Lord alone. How many miles? I think about 8,000 or 10,000 miles away in New York. Nobody there. Absolutely alone. Not even having mrudang, not even having kartal. And Prabhupada was alone. And still, he was absolutely fixed up. So, humbleness brings sthira. Sthira and dradhata means you become fixed up. You cannot be fixed up unless you are humble. You have to be humble first. Because humbleness means that you are lowering yourself to the ground level. And there is nothing more steady than the ground. Unless there is an earthquake. But that's very rare. So here is a case where Prabhupada was so well known throughout the world for his these great Vaishnava qualities. So today we will glorify Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Today we will glorify Srila Prabhupada by his great Vaishnava qualities. And as you have seen in this beautiful verse, devotees are always merciful. There are three words in the English language, in the English dictionary. Pity, mercy, and compassion. These three are totally different. Nowhere it is mentioned here, devotees have pity. No. Pity is a position where somebody is very poor and you say, I am rich and I am going to give you something. And you take a pity on him. So you actually put yourself on him. So that's not humbleness. So pity is not what is mentioned in this Shastra anywhere. Devotees are merciful. Mercy is what you give without any take. You see? When you take pity, you are actually giving something, but what you are doing is you are increasing your own personal value. That I gave him 100 rupees. I gave him food. Otherwise, he was starving. That is the usual statement made by people who are rich, who take pity on poor. But that only increases their negativity or their non-humbleness. Mercifulness is a pre-qualification of humbleness. Because if you are merciful, you are giving something ahituki, without any expectation. And that is why in this verse, in the Madhya Leela, it's starting with the verse, devotees are always merciful. Why? Because they are always, next, humble. Merciful, we are always merciful to become humble. Humbleness always brings truthfulness, because what happens is that you say, I don't know, really speaking. Everything is done by Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My Guru Maharaj is giving me the mercy from Krishna. And therefore, whatever little I know from my Guru Maharaj. And I know it comes from Krishna in Ivam Parampara Praptam. So, the next step, as mentioned in this beautiful verse, is merciful, humbleness, then truthfulness. Truthfulness is of three characters. Number one, you are truthful regardless whatever happens in this world. Supposing somebody is a pure devotee and yet you try and say that he is done so and so. Well, that sometimes gives you a feeling that I am superior to this gentleman. So that is not truthfulness as stated in the Shastras. The Shastras are very clear. You have to be truthful, but you have to be sweet and polite. You have to be truthful to the extent necessary. There have been instances where Prabhupada used to keep quiet, absolutely quiet. Once in New York, a reporter asked certain questions and she was constantly digging, you know, like some of the reporters tend to be. They try to make it aggressive interview. And they try to extract something, what we call in India, some masala, so that they can put as a headlines in the next day's newspaper. But Prabhupada did not fall for that masala trap. He was truthful to the point where he would just keep himself within limits. Now that is the very important thing. He was equipoised, equal to all, faultless. Faultless means not only he is faultless, but he is not finding fault in the others. Faultless means that really, both ways. It's not a one-way ticket that you say, I'm not finding fault with you. But unfortunately, you've got a lot of faults. But that is not the attitude of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is always thinking that actually speaking, I've got lots of faults. But the others who see him as faultless also see that he doesn't find fault in others. And now, once I heard Radhanath Maharaj explaining that finding fault is like becoming like a fly. You heard this many times? Radhanand Maharaj used to give this example in the old days, that the difference between the crow and the swan is that the crow is always looking for where is dirt, and then zooming in on the dirt, pile of dirt, because that's what it enjoys, associating, eating, etc. Whereas a swan, if you go to sea in a beautiful river or a lake, the swan avoids altogether any dirt. It is very busy going around the lotus and other such wonderful lilies and so on flowers. Why? The reason is, the lotus grows in real bad mud, dirty mud. If you just dive down into a lake or a river, you will see that the lotus, there are people who collect lotus stems and sell it. In fact, in Sindhi families, in a marriage, they serve bee. They call it bee. Bee means lotus cut small pieces of the stem. They have to clean it very thoroughly because there's a lot of mud in it. But it is the creme de creme delicacy of Sindhi family kadi, next to that. So they know, because they serve this best thing. Similarly, there are lotus seeds which are puffed up like popcorn, served in Rajasthan, Gujarat and so on. So they are very, very tasty, lotus seeds. So these birds know this, that the lotus has this excellent and very nourishing, wonderful seeds. The other thing is, the lotus only blooms to the sun. At night it closes. The lotus, really speaking, if you see the coefficient of when there is no friction, there is actually the water just flows on a lotus leaf or a lotus flower, and it doesn't collect any mud or water on itself. So this world is like this muddy pool. The swan knows that the world is like a muddy pool, but we are not off the muddy pool. We are not in the muddy pool. We stay away from it, like in this temple we stay. Stay means to really live. You can make your house also a temple. So Prabhupada used to always make, wherever he went, a Vrindavan. So even in New York, his own little room used to be like a piece of Vrindavan. Magnanimous, I have seen Prabhupada's great quality, wherein he had hardly any money in terms of dollars when he left. He had zero, actually. He had only 42 rupees and trunk full of books of his. And he sold these books, and whatever cash dollars he got in New York, he used for cooking wonderful prasadam and serving magnanimously. And he used to keep telling those who came, the first initial lot of devotees. Mukund Maharaj once told us that, of course, now he's in New Zealand writing a book. So Mukund Maharaj was one of the first to get initiated, one of the first to associate with Prabhupada. So he used to say that Prabhupada was so magnanimous. We didn't ask or think that no food would be left for himself at the end of the day. He would serve, he'd say, eat, because he knew that by eating prasadam, there would be cleanliness from within. Not only the heart would get clean, but the brain would get clean by eating the prasadam. Because, as you know, all foodstuff have got two qualities. First is the gross quality, like vitamins or proteins, carbohydrates, etc. And the other is the subtle elements. And that is the food for the brain. Maharaj, I was asking him a few days ago, Radhanath Swami, and he said that depends also on who is cooking. Because what consciousness the person has, that gets embedded into the food. And the food becomes very nutritious, merciful, and becomes prasadam. It's Lord's mercy. So that is how we should only eat prasadam offered to the Lord. A few days ago, I was also reading a small comment by Garga Muni.
Thank you.
Garga Muni says, in fact, it was on a day like this, one of Prabhupada's appearance day, he was lecturing. He says, do you know which are the three most important words used by Srila Prabhupada? He asked devotees who were sitting down. So, does anybody know this? Have you read Garga Muni's lecture? No. Your ever well wisher. Wonderful. Correct, correct. Absolutely. Your ever well wisher. Those are the three most important words. Whenever Prabhupada used to sign a letter, at the end he would say, your ever well wisher. So, the ever well wisher is Srila Prabhupada. It's not that he was sometimes well wisher, sometimes not well wisher. Or depends on who he was talking to or writing to. He was equal to all. He was your ever well-wisher to everyone. And this is one of the greatnesses of Prabhupada. Mild and clean. I have seen Srila Prabhupada personally. Immaculately dressed. It's not that crumpled up and old and torn and lot of black dots or something. Nothing like that. Prabhupada, whatever he wore, it would be washed thoroughly, it would be clean. He used to say, clean outside, clean inside. That is his famous statement. So, he was always very, very clean. And he was mild. Mild, what does mild mean? Mild as a rose, hard as a thunderbolt. That is mild. It's not that he was all the time goody-goody with everyone. No. I used to have a friend of mine who was the president of Hyderabad Temple. And he one day told me this story. They were all very tired, all the devotees, because the whole day they had cooked. Then they had a big feast, a big program, and Prabhupada had given a long lecture, nice lecture. Every guest and devotee had eaten sumptuous prasadam. And they were so tired, they had hardly any energy to clean the pots and pans and the temple afterwards. Suddenly, Prabhupada thought, let me check the whole temple in the middle of the night. After all this, what he did the whole day. And there he found these ants were walking around and some dal was fallen somewhere, some food and all. He woke up all the devotees and he called them, now you clean this in the middle of the night. We cannot have a temple which is not clean. And the whole temple was made clean. Now what happened was, I'm talking about mild, hard as a thunderbolt. This president of this temple saw that something was not going only. This was a dal, spot of dal. So what he did, he got a knife and he started scratching that temple floor to remove that dal. You know this story? No? And he was removing and Prabhupada saw that my temple, with a knife he's scratching it. For him, the temple is a house of God, like God itself. And you are doing this with a knife. Why don't you cut your throat? He told. The Guru was so shocked. This is not the way to clean a temple. So, he told me this. And Prabhupada was mild, but at the same time, he stuck to his principle of cleanliness, which will come, socham. They are without material possessions. Prabhupada didn't care. I have seen that. Whatever he had, he was happy with that. He said Krishna is providing. And they perform welfare work for everyone. People used to say to Prabhupada, why are you not building hospitals, schools and all that institutions and all that? He said, there are so many other people who are doing it. But who is distributing pure love of God? Who is distributing this knowledge by which pure love of God develops? Somebody has to do that. In fact, yesterday we were discussing, Maharaj and myself, that if your leg, for instance, one leg is gone, that doesn't matter. You can still move around, you see, in a wheelchair. You can hop around with the crutches or whatever. If your hand, one of the hand is gone, like in the war, some soldiers lose their hand, they can use the other hand to write. In fact, Mahatma Gandhi was one who could write with both the hands at the same time. And he used to write letters very, very fast because of this. So, you can train your hands to write. But if you don't have a head, what can you do? Finish, you're gone. So that's why the head is a brahmana. And there are no brahmanas. People are headless in the sense they don't use their head. They're not trained up. They're not developed. So, most important is this quality that Prabhupada told us, that all of us must become like brahmanas, because there is a shortage of brahmanas. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. All this is in one sentence. You cannot be peaceful unless you are surrendered to Krishna. Because if you are not surrendered to Krishna, you are surrendered to your senses. It is as clear as day and night. And the moment you are surrendered to your senses, I have seen, you are always agitated. You cannot be peaceful. Peacefulness comes normally when you associate with those who are peaceful. And those who are agitated comes more when you associate with those who are agitated. You see? So, like in music, for instance, I have seen that when there is kirtan or some nice music going on, people are actually all peaceful and happy. Whereas agitation comes when there is a rock band or something, I don't know what they are, hard rocks and cold rocks and soft rocks, I don't know how many rocks. But their head also become like a rock. So this is what happens. They are indifferent to material acquisitions. Prabhupada was giving away things. Supposing somebody had given him $1,000 worth of watch, which even today is very costly. $1,000, 46,000 rupees worth. I have seen that he would auction it, he would give it away. He would not be attached to the Rolex watch or whatever watch. He said, I want books, I want to print books. What can I do with this watch? I have got already one watch is enough. So that feeling that one is enough, this is good enough, that feeling should be there in all of us. Because otherwise it becomes acquisitive. And you can't take it with you when you're going back home, back to Godhead. But whatever you have learnt, that gets embedded, like it gets embossed on the soul. The technology of this material world will remain here. But Krishna's technology gets carried with us when we leave this body. And Krishna's technology is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because you must know the science of God, Prabhupada used to say. It doesn't matter whether you are scientist or not. It doesn't matter. But to learn the science of Krishna is very, very important. The reason is that if you are asked a question, you are a preacher. Most of the devotees are preachers. So you asked a question, like we preach in the IIT, for instance. There are brilliant people there, professors and everyone. And one day, one professor asked, why is it that in the carbon atom, there are 14 electrons and each one is revolving around in a certain spin, in a certain direction? How are that? You say it is jad. You say that carbon is just material thing, like coal. Coal is carbon. Even diamond is carbon. But the difference between coal and diamond is between a non-devotee and a devotee. You see, the coal is just fit for burning. But a diamond, people will not burn, though it is coal. How? Because under certain pressure and temperature, that coal has become a diamond. So a devotee also under certain pressure and temperature, called tapasya, tapeti tapasya, that is the Sanskrit shloka. So you have gone under treatment, tough treatment. And you have become diamonds. See, a pure devotee is like a pure diamond. So, I was hearing that diamonds are very, very costly, very valuable. More than costly, it is very valuable. Similarly, devotional service is very valuable. Somebody giving you devotional service means he is giving you more than diamonds. Because he is giving all his tapasya of so many years, all the hardship he has gone through, pressures he has gone through. Prabhupada took and delivered it. Free of charge he gave. What more magnanimous person than supposing you are calling in the middle of the street and say, take these diamonds. It is really like more valuable than diamonds. Diamonds will remain behind in this world. But Prabhupada's gift, we take it with us wherever we go. And that will be embedded in the soul. So it's embossed. It's part and parcel of the soul. The soul gets fully Krishnaized. Just like iron steel in fire gets so hot and red and soft. Similarly, the soul also becomes Krishnaized because of Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. They completely control the six bad qualities. These lust, anger, greed, and kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsa. Of course, the worst one is envy. Krishna concentrates on the word envy. Of course, he always says that lust and lust alone is the cause of your having come to this material world. It is a fact. But envy is definitely something which keeps you tied down to this world. Because you are envious, you want that thing. You are not happy with somebody being happy. So you are envious. So you are always comparing with that person. And if the other person is tied to this earth, you are also tied to this earth. So this envy business is not a good business. The dividends are negative. It's a loss-making business. So even a businessman should understand never to be envious. Excuse me. They completely control this. They eat only as much as required. Initially, of course, you may eat more because you love prasadam. And you come addicted to prasadam. Really, that is a fact. All of us, I would say 90% of those who are in this hall, if they are really sincere and truthful, they will appreciate. They came because of the wonderful prasad. Prabhupada distributed freely. Nice prasad. Very nice prasad. His cooking was very clean and neat. Like everything else. I mentioned about his dressing. The way he would even pick up a book, you know, it was like delicately as if he is picking up Krishna himself. Because there is no difference in Bhagavatam and Krishna. So he would pick up with great reverence. It's not that he would just yank a book out of the table. He would value everything. Excuse me. So the next one, they are respectful, grave. I have seen Prabhupada respectful to even young children. Very, very respectful. Because he used to look upon children or a dog or an elephant all with one samadrashta. It's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna that pandita means a person who sees all living creatures having the soul only. Unfortunately, no doubt, some people are envious or whatever it is. You mean, need not associate with them. But you need not condemn them. Just like this picture here, there is something where... here it is, right behind me. So in this picture, there is a very wonderful example where there were two brothers. They were brothers, wasn't it? Almost like brothers. They were actually Jay and Vijay originally. You know this? What happened is, this Jay and Vijay are actually the gatekeepers of Lord Vishnu. But the Sanat Kumar brothers, Sanat Sanatan, Sanadana Sanata, they were insulted virtually. And they cursed them to seven lives as devotees or three lives as non-devotees or let's say demons. So they preferred to come back quickly. When they got back, just as when Krishna came back after the last about 5,000 and odd years ago, Leela, they also came back. But when Krishna started thinking, how is it that Radharani had enjoyed the Leela more than me? I am the source of all enjoyment. And in that mood of thinking of Radharani's mood of service, Krishna started changing his color also and became like golden complexion like Radharani. So these doorkeepers, you know, if you go to any factory, any office or any house, these doorkeepers are always watching what the boss is doing and what's happening inside. They have to keep a track of what nobody should come from outside, but they also watch what's happening inside. I've seen that. So these doorkeepers, Jay and Vijay, they thought, if Krishna is going again as Lord Gauranga, let us also go. There is no need to be cursed to go. We can go because Krishna has told that all my associates should come down. We are also associates. So Jagai and Madai then came down again. Fourth time, but that was voluntarily. Not because they were cursed. And never they cursed any Vaishnava, incidentally. They had never done any Vaishnava aparad. That is a secret. How they got this great benefit of Nityanand Prabhu's blessings is Nityanand Prabhu observed that they had never actually cursed or tried to harm. Only once when they hit that pot and there was blood coming out and so on, then Haridas Thakur had gone at that time. So this was the only incident and he had to stop them from doing any further damage. So he gave them a lot of mercy and Lord Chaitanya came. Lord Chaitanya showed his Sudarshan Chakra. That itself shows the mercy. Sudarshan Chakra is Su and Darshan. In Sanskrit, Darshan is very important. Means you physically see someone, Darshan. And the word Su is used means supreme, like the most beautiful. Like Su Raj. Like the sun is very beautiful. So it's Su Raj. Or you have so many Sanskrit words with the word Su. Of course, they are friendly, poetic, expert and silent, which I should be now. So the thing is this, they are friendly. I have seen Prabhupada being friendly with everyone. Even somebody who would come with an inimical thought. There was once a reporter in Sweden, I remember one tape I had heard. That reporter was a very nasty fellow. He came in a very, very surreptitious manner, very quietly, and asking as if, you know, do you have a very strong movement? Prabhupada said, what strong movement? We have devotees, we have temples, we have these books. That is our strength. We don't have any army. Oh, you don't have any weapons? So he says, our weapons are the holy name of the Lord. Here is the beads. And actually Prabhupada gave him beads. He says, what is this weapon? What is this beads? He says, in these beads, you have got your full protection. What is a weapon good for? A weapon is for your protection, really speaking. And these beads are your full protection for the soul. Where you can get a gun or any knife or whatever to protect the soul? There is no weapon. This is the only weapon, the holy name of the Lord. And therefore the beads are most important. So Prabhupada was so friendly and in that sense he was very poetic. Because this is beautiful if somebody writes a poem about protection of the soul. It's the holy name of the Lord through the beads. So, with these few words, I would like to close now. And we have to go to Juhu. I have to take Maharaj also. So, are there any questions or any comments? It's all right? Thank you very much. Hari Bol.